This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the fun. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Happy to be back around, as I usually am each week at this time, discussing the things, the issues, the people who are involved in farming, my kind of people, the family farmer. This program is not for big ag. It is for the family farmers around the country, defined in different ways by different outfits. Farm Bureau members sometimes have one point of view, and National Farmers Union has another point of view. Many of you who get together and have co-ops, there are a lot of things, though, going on each week that affect those of us who are family farmers. From the news department, I'd like to spend a few minutes at the beginning of the program talking about some of the news that I think is important or affects us all in one way or another. The story of a husband and wife team that had a long-running legal battle between a number of multi-generational farmers and the city of Orlinda, Tennessee. They have been in court for a year. There were three appeals. The judges held that the county of Robertson, Tennessee, did not illegally spot zone to allow the Bernard's farm to have a store. This was an earlier holding by the lower courts. I don't know what state this program is heard in every state in the union, and it's also heard around the world. If you have been involved in something like this, as I have, using what seems to be an ignorant point of view from the folks who are in charge, they don't really get it sometimes, even if it's a farming community. This farm store we're talking about was built as a way to sell products that they, on their farm, are growing and or developing. So it's a direct-to-consumer product line. And so why wouldn't they have the right to sell in their own farm store? It was not built within the city, but it's pretty close. The city brought a lawsuit against the county and the folks running this farm, the Bernards, over the fact the store was in an area that had been, quote-unquote, rezoned. Anyway, and in looking at this, I think there's a thought in here for future opportunities. People who are, this family looks to be in their 40s, I'm going to guess, and their children are very interested, even though they're young, in having the farm. We're trying to keep farms in families, are we not? And so, as this farm has developed over the years, it was a tobacco farm at one point. They diversified into soybeans and corn and wheat and pigs and cattle. And so the meat side of the business was aimed at creating a foundation for their farm in their community and that the next generation coming along could build on. So they are smart. They're planning for the income to support their family as they begin the fifth generation on this farm. They fought to make it legal, and they won. The outrage, though, here for me is that the city, the taxpayers in the state of Tennessee and this city of Orlinda had to pay to fight with one of their own to do something that is inherent in their right to sell what they have and do it in a place and a way that is legal. They didn't violate any laws. The people in this community who run the community just didn't like it there. And so it went through three appeals. Imagine what that cost the community. Three appeals courts, and they all agreed on the four issues that were raised in the appeal. The one the court spent the most time addressing was whether the rezoning that allowed the farm store was in their district, or was it illegal spot zoning to favor them. So I guess the bottom line here when it comes to this kind of a story, farmers fighting with their communities over the right to operate and sell their products, I find this ruling to be exasperated because it costs so much money, and I don't understand why people in the community would fight with their farmers no matter what. The farmers had to spend $40,000 in legal fees to defend their farm store. If it were me, I would be suing the community because they were way off base. If you got three judges who all say the same thing and the city keeps fighting you, there's something else going on. So congratulations to Steve and Julie Bernard, who overcame their legal challenges and are opening the farm store on their Tennessee property where they market their own products. Every farmer, every family farmer ought to be doing this, as far as I'm concerned, as long as you have a market someplace. If you're in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't make much sense to do it. But in terms of a situation like that, congratulations again to them. Moving along, we're going to have a chat this week from the perspective of the Future Farmers of America. Michael Brammer is here. He's the executive director of the FFA in Pennsylvania. We want to discuss the importance of the FFA, why it matters to farmers today, family farmers. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes, or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. That's 800-511-6046.
Attention timeshare owners, tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-875-1853. 800-875-1853. That's 800-875-1853.
Back on the American Family Farmer this week, Doug Steffen with Michael Brammer, who is the executive director of the FFA in Pennsylvania. Certainly we want to discuss the importance not only of the Pennsylvania FFA, why it matters for future generations of farmers in all parts of our country to follow the path. Michael, I think you were listening to me as I was talking about that farm circumstance in Tennessee, where the family was trying to sell their products and getting a hard time from the locals. I wonder how often that happens. And the reason that I bring it around to your focus is because they said, that family said, they wanted to ensure the future of the farm for their family, the next generation that's coming along, and they were fifth generation farmers on that land. So what do we, let's look at it from that point of view as we get started here, getting people to stay in the family business or bringing people in who may not know that much about farming but are interested. Because we see a lot of that, actually. You see a lot of people, the farm is kind of lost because the father or the grandfather have worked it for ages, and the youngsters saw all the work and how hard it was. They don't want to stay there. And yet we see all the time. I do in my community. People coming along that don't know anything about farming, but they want to learn because they want to follow that that path, that lifestyle. So, what do you perceive to be the FFA's most important job in Pennsylvania?
Let me first say thank you for having me on, Doug. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. You know, listening to that story, I couldn't help but think about how difficult it has become for just transitioning farms from one generation to another. And I think that, you know, we have programs here in Pennsylvania that is through our Department of Agriculture that will help families transition from one generation to another. So I'm not sure about across the country if those programs exist, but gosh, if they don't, they should. Because I think it's vital. The transitioning from one generation to another can be very costly at times. And I think the better programs that we can put in place to make those transitions become so much smoother and easier is just a plus for everybody. And I think that kind of comes back to, you know, what is FFA doing through our agriculture education classes to make sure that we have students going into the careers of agriculture in the future. You know, we've divided agriculture education pretty much into like seven different pathways that students can go into, and whether that's agribusiness or animal systems or plant systems, food products, power structure, you name it. We pretty much try to get it covered through agriculture education. And of course, on the FFA side, just making sure that we're giving those students the hands-on experiences that they're learning in the classroom, and at the same time making sure that we are providing them with premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agriculture education.
What's your background?
Well, my background is kind of diverse. I grew up on my family's dairy farm down in the southwestern part of Virginia. There were three brothers who actually owned the farm. One of the brothers had passed away, so they decided to sell the farm, and my dad took our family and we went to a smaller dairy farm, which we farmed for about probably 10 or 15 more years, and my dad's health got bad and we wound up actually selling the farm. So I'm a product of agriculture education. When I was in high school down in Virginia, I intended to I was in an agriculture education class. I was a member of the FFA, served as a state FFA officer in Virginia. Had all the intentions and plans of becoming an agriculture education teacher. And of course, life throws you curveballs once in a while. And I got a curveball thrown at me and I kind of went a different route. So my background is actually in the food business, working in the grocery retail business for about 25 years. And then I had, we moved to Pennsylvania, my wife and I had kids, and our kids got involved in agriculture education and FFA, and it kind of reacquainted us with FFA, and we had a local FFA advisor who contacted me about this position of the executive director's job in Pennsylvania. And said that I should apply, and I thought he was off his rocker. But now it's been 22 years, and I am just elated that I had this opportunity to give back and also to serve and work with students in agriculture education over the last 22 years.
Well, I think it's very important. We have given in way too much to agribusinesses, to the huge four or five conglomerates that try to, but are not thankfully successful in taking over ag in terms of percentages of people. You know, most of the farms still in this country are run by families. And so in this case, I wanted to highlight what the FFA was doing, Pennsylvania as an example, so that we can keep the pipeline open. And yeah, there are other issues, governmental issues, the things that require the stupidity that happens when the government says we have to pay this much in taxes and the only way you can get it is to sell the land. So we'll pick it up in a few moments here. Michael Brammer is here on this week's American Family Farmer.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If there's something I want, I roll my own. Yeah, all I need is G-O-D to bless the seeds I've sown.
The National Future Farmers of America organization is in the spotlight here. Michael Brammer, as an example, executive director of the Pennsylvania FFA, the career path of being a farmer or ag specialist. I think a lot of people have confused over the years the FFA with a 4-H. And maybe we differentiate. I was on the board of directors of my local 4-H here. And then I got off because there aren't as many farms around here as there used to be, and therefore there aren't a lot of farm youngsters or people interested in farming, so they've turned the 4-H into sort of a home arena, if you will, teaching young women more than men how to cook or how to do things that are ancillary to life on the farm. And I don't think that that touches into the heart of where the needs are, so I kind of got off. Would you like to take a minute and from your perspective, tell us what you think the difference is between the FFA and the 4-H?
Well, Doug, I think personally, in my opinion, there's the biggest difference, in my opinion, between FFA and 4-H is that 4-H is a club with students and lots of volunteers that do a good job, at least in our area here in Pennsylvania, partnering with Penn State University and trying to educate those students who are interested in agriculture.
Yep.
The biggest difference that I see as far as 4-H and FFA is concerned is FFA is in our high school systems. FFA is an intracurricular part of agriculture education. So here in Pennsylvania, if you're a student of agriculture education in a high school, you're automatically a member of FFA.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. And FFA, again, provides that leadership component, if you will, mm-hmm. to those students, you know, teaching them about, you know, just life skills.
So let me interrupt you for a second, Michael. How does this happen? Do you have teachers who are farmers or have farm background? Do they have in the curriculum English, math, social studies, science, and farming? Is that an elective, or is that something that is part of what's taught in the high schools in many areas of Pennsylvania?
In the state of Pennsylvania, we have 153 schools who offer agriculture education as an elective. Our teachers that teach that are certified agricultural education teachers. Most will have come out of the Penn State University system with a degree in agriculture and extension education. Some will come through other programs. Penn State doesn't have a monopoly on producing those teachers, but we like to think here, obviously, in Pennsylvania, that they do a good job of producing those teachers for us. So in order to have an agriculture education program and an FFA chapter, there must first be agriculture education being taught by a certified agriculture education teacher.
All right, so now I'm putting my thinking cap on because I'm in Massachusetts, and the land-grant schools, Pennsylvania is a commonwealth and a land-grant state, I think, as well. Is it not? So I'm thinking of the similarities.
It is.
Yeah, right.
It is. In fact, every state in the country actually has a land-grant university.
Yeah, I thought it was just some of the Commonwealth. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a stuck-up Northeasterner. I think everything begins and ends from Pennsylvania to New York State and into New England.
But I understand.
Yeah, that's not probably very accurate, but I was brought up in the mindset that the colleges in Massachusetts, the state colleges, the University of Massachusetts, et cetera, had the best systems for teaching agricultural education. It was because we were a land-grant state. So that's interesting. You flipped the switch on me there, my friend. Michael Brammer is here with me. I'm Doug Steffen. This is the American Family Farmer.
Is posthumous pleasure, pleasure in preaching, thoughts in the heart, something that stimulates the music in a measure, measure in the music, breaking three parts. Casually see, but don't do like the soul, cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip hop, hustle, no rock and roll, unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punky. Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap, so you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase in front of stairs, and don't get offended while Mace Dosey does your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound, y'all, in your Quebec, that the action's not a trip, but show me how to function. Everybody wants to be a DJ. Everybody wants to be an MC. But being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. Get off the pot, because it's the three, and that's a magic number. This is piece of the pie. It's not dessert, but the cost that we dine. And three out of every darn time, the effect is when the daisy goes in your mind. Showing true position. This here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up the casualty. Maybe you can subtract it. You can call it your lucky partner. Maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be? My three makes pop to me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunts of the soul. Souls who flaunt style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dove and a plug. Set aside a legal substance to feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect joy. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers of soul say it's time.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. The city of Oakland, California fired its police chief over the alleged cover-up of an officer's misconduct. Democrat Mayor Sheng Tao announced she was firing Police Chief LaRon Armstrong Wednesday after an independent investigation concluded the chief and the department failed to properly investigate and discipline Sergeant Michael Chung, who was involved in a hit-and-run while on duty, and firing his gun in an elevator at police headquarters. The mayor.
Publicly discussing the merits of these discipline cases would be highly inappropriate, that there are systemic issues and the city needs to address them, and that we cannot simply write them off as mistakes.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley announced she is running for President of the United States in 2024.
Ready to move past the stale ideas and faded names of the past. And we are more than ready for a new generation to lead us into the future.
Lance Pry, USA News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Here we are having an exciting time trying to encourage people, families that are listening to this program, probably mothers and fathers, maybe grandmothers and grandfathers, a lot of folks listening to the program who are in ag work. The focus from my perspective is to keep the family farm alive. I am not a fan nor a friend, and anybody who listens to this program who hears me go off on big ag knows that I'm not. It may be that some of the FFA people will get into big ag, especially if they go into chemistry or maybe some kind of a business that leads them into having a career. And I don't want to stymie that, but I think taking the talent that we have and trying to steer them into being farm entrepreneurs is better. That's just me. Does it work that way, Michael, or am I in a cloud?
I think you're on to something there, Doug. I think it's also important to note that there's a lot of farms out there that some people would classify as being a factory farm.
Yep.
And in most cases,
dairy mostly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes, but in most cases, those quote unquote, I'm using the air quotes here, those factory farms are still owned by families. So you still have families that are operating those farms. They just may have an agreement with, you know, certain companies or whatever that they produce for that particular company. So, you know, there's a pretty likable fellow here in Pennsylvania who talks a lot about 2% of the nation's population feed us.
Yeah.
So which means about 2% of our population are farmers.
Yeah.
So, you know, do we want every single person to go into farming? I'm not sure that that's the answer. But I do think that every single person needs to know where their food comes from.
Well, that's let me stop you there, because I think that's very paramount here to the conversation. What we saw during the pandemic was outrageous in terms of what people, adults and children, didn't know about the food supply. Basic things. Where does the food come from? We go to the grocery store. Hey, guess what? There's no food here. Where do we get the food? Well, we started scratching around and figuring out, wait a minute, there are local farms that are producing things. Maybe we ought to go directly to them to see if we can get our food directly from the source. And that's where I think the re-education started. If there's anything to be thankful for, and there's not much that came out of the pandemic, that may be one thing that was a help to the farming community in general. Do you agree?
I do. I do agree with that statement. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just think that we have to have, if nothing else, maybe there's a food. I'm a great believer in how I used to teach junior high school and college back in my early, in my misspent, troubled young adult years. And I was always talking about the farm, and people thought I was crazy because there are only a few farms in the community that I grew up in. I just happened to work on all of them and be exposed to them. And so when we had health classes, which is akin to, where's the food come from? The health classes in figuring out how your body works, what's the right food for your body, you know, that sort of thing. I think that's part of it. I don't know whether the FFA is doing that, teaching youngsters not only how to grow the food and produce food and be that member of society, but how does your body work? What does it need to be healthy? You know, if you're going to be a farmer or related industries, you got to be pretty healthy. And so there's a subset here that I guess I'm wondering about.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I can't answer that question, to be quite honest, as far as, you know, do our agriculture education classes teach them about how to eat properly or the foods that they eat? But I do know that they talk about where the food actually comes from, how it's grown, how it's processed,
right?
So that they do have that understanding before they, you know, obviously become members of society and go out into the workforce. That's a given when it comes to agriculture education, is to make sure that they know where their food comes from.
Yeah, I think you got to know that. Before we run out of time, I want to spend some time on the fact that this coming week is National FFA Week. There are chapters around the country that are celebrating this between the 18th and 25th of February. So what are we sharing? What's the impact? In addition to what we've talked about, numbers, how many people actually belong to the FFA and may be celebrating FFA Week?
Yes, that's a great question, Doug. So nationally and both here in Pennsylvania, we are at all-time record numbers. Here in Pennsylvania, we have just a little over 14,000 members that are in FFA, and that's through 153 different schools. At the national level, we have 8,995 chapters with over 850,000 students enrolled in agriculture education and part of FFA. We are super excited about those numbers. We're continuing to see an increase in numbers every single year. Mm-hmm. So we know that there is a renowned interest in agriculture education and learning more and more about the careers in agriculture and all the things that we have to offer. So, next week is National FFA Week. There will be celebrations all over the country, just making sure that people are aware that, you know, we're still available. that were still around, and we've been in existence now for about 95 years.
So I'm looking at the stats. There are about 9,000 FFA chapters. Looks like each chapter has an average of about 100 students in all of the 50 states and down in Puerto Rico and those areas as well. That's an accomplishment and a half, frankly, in this time when farming is not respected because it's not understood. So if nothing else, this is a way of getting people to understand how everything works. But then as I look and sort of dig in between the lines here, there certainly is an emphasis on, as you move ahead, what jobs there are for people in what careers, maybe is a better way of putting it, there are for people who want to be connected to the earth, to our food supply, to agriculture. I can't imagine my life and any time I've been around cows all my life. I can't imagine any part of my life going forward. As I look backward, you know, I've been around cows all my life, so I want to continue to be around cows. There's something about that that grounds me. And I think there's nothing else, you know, if I were to go around, if somebody invited me to go talk to a student group or a class or something about agriculture and what the future was for it, I would I'd sort of go back to the very basics, the roots. You gotta love it. Because it's not just a job, it's a lifestyle. You live and breathe agriculture and farming. Do you not?
You do. You do. And I think one of the things that surprises a lot of people is no matter what you touch, what you smell, what you taste is all involved in agriculture. If you think about it, you know, we look at there are over 300 different careers that you can get into that touch agriculture. And again, I mentioned there's pathways that we try to put our students through in the very beginning. If you look at some of those careers coming out of there, there's things that people don't even have a clue that touch agriculture, such as engineering. Mm-hmm. There are agricultural engineers who design tractors and design equipment. There's ag economics for those who like to work with numbers and make predictions. That's another one they can get into. Forestry. A lot of people don't even consider forestry to be part of agriculture, but it is very much so. And then things like, you know, veterinary science, working with animals, whether it's small animals or large animals, and even turf grass management, food processing, food inspection, you know, winemakers. You got somebody that's interested in trying to be a winemaker.
Yep, right.
You know, all those things are in touching agriculture and are a part of agriculture.
We're having a conversation with Michael Brammer, who is the director of the FFA in Pennsylvania. We'll continue on the American Family Farmer after I get you focused on how you look, how you feel. Are you doing a good job as you've gone through the holidays? Now we've got Valentine's Day, so people are eating chocolate like there was no tomorrow. So what's that do for your waistline? Do you have a continuing focus on your health and your well-being? If you don't, maybe you ought to go to Calitrin's website. Very interesting reading. America's number one problem is weight, its effect on your body, cancers and heart disease. You got to lose the weight to be healthy. And this is the only non-toxic way to keep the weight off. Lose it, keep it off. Check on all of the success stories at toploss.com, their website. See how the program can be an asset for you, how you can get into it and stay in it. That's what I have done. I've never really had a been fortunate or a weight problem, but I am conscious of it and all the good things that are in it, aloe vera, the digestive enzymes, the collagen protein, so important to all of our bodies. So get on to the program. This big Valentine's Day special right now. You buy three and get three free. Also free shipping. Use the Doug, D-O-U-G, Doug code when you check out. After finding Calitrin, deciding to use it, buy it and enjoy it. Enjoy the benefits of losing weight the natural way with Calitrin at toploss.com.
You've been working hard, doing the right thing, and paying your taxes, and putting your hard-earned money in the Medicare piggy bank all your life. And now it's time to break the piggy bank and get something back. Medicare. If you didn't know it, Medicare is health insurance for people over 65, and you've paid for it with your tax dollars. Medicare plans now have more benefits than ever. That's good news, especially if you're like me and looking forward to paying as little as possible for good health insurance. Call and find out what Medicare plan is best for you. Save your time. It's valuable. We've already done the research for you, and in one quick phone call, you can learn how to get the best Medicare plan designed exactly for you. Hey, it's one of the most important decisions in your life. Let us help you through it. Here's our number. Call 65 Plus Medicare now. 800-778-8214. 800-778-8214. That's 800-778-8214.
Greece's cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
For a couple of minutes with Michael Brammer, who is the executive director of the FFA in Pennsylvania. Do you actually run some of these yourself? Do you go? How are you funded? I guess I'm interested in that and how you fund these organizations. What the farmers have to kick in? Do you get support from communities in the state? How does this work?
Yes. Answer that question.
Okay,
yes.
There you go.
Obviously, in our school systems, we're considered an elective. And when it comes to FFA being an intracurricular part of agriculture education, obviously a lot of that expense falls back on the school districts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some taxpayer dollars that will help fund our programs. At the state level and at the national level, we rely a lot on grants. So we rely a lot on public giving. We rely a lot on corporate giving. So there's all kinds of ways that you can support our programs. And of course, every state has a website for their state FFA, and there are places there that you can go to donate and to give. And in fact, next week, I think it's the 23rd of February is National FFA Give Day.
Yeah.
So anybody that's interested in doing that, by all means, check out the websites and give till it hurts. As
certainly, right. So. It certainly is, because there are a lot of things that youngsters can benefit. The advances, certainly in technology on the farm now. I'm not a fan of some of the stuff that is on the equipment today, especially tractors. I think, frankly, it's dangerous. But there's a lot of technology that people can learn about. There certainly is a lot of that side stuff, like mechanical stuff, that one can learn. I know a lot of farmers who certainly have learned on the farm how to take care of equipment, how it all works, and then they go to work for a tractor supply outfit, and they take care of equipment, and they're good mechanics. I think we need to have good mechanics on the farm as well as off the farm, so that's one thing. This is a myriad of things that can come from having a future Farmers of America branch in your neck of the woods. So this conversation with Michael Brammer is meant to be an inspiration for people who may not know that they're there. Find out. They're in all 50 states. Find out how it works and get people, perhaps, young people, whether it be folks from the farm or just folks in the community that want to know about farming, get them involved. The FFA, our focus here with Michael Brammer, Executive Director of the FFA in Pennsylvania. Michael, thanks for joining us here on the American Family Farmer.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach.
He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring to turn from green to bad harvest honey.
Now 53 after the hour on the American Family Farmer Program. This is my moment to try to influence. I guess that's it. I'm always trying to influence people in what they're thinking, because that's what I do as a radio personality, a radio host, if you will. Been doing it for a long time. My weekday program, the Good Day Show, is aimed at bringing you information about the events of the day, the issues of the day, the people. And so this American Family Farmer Show is an outgrowth of that, in a manner of speaking, trying to get to the heart and soul of America's food system, food supply, what we need to be aware of. Yes, the program is aimed at farmers and the farming community, but it's also aimed at people who are interested to know more about their food supply. I have a segment on the Good Day program called Farm, Food, and Family, and I guess a lot of that trickles into our conversations that we have here about what's going on the farm. I think that in terms of where we are, I'm upset, but yet I'm happy if I can have those two things. There are a number of organizations that have come together, like the FFA, to change federal policy, which farmers say supports an unfair, unhealthy, and destructive food system. Most of the policies take shape every 5 years in the Farm Bill. Lots of farmers are talking about this year's Farm Bill and what it needs. There are hearings going on now, negotiations going on right now. This is a huge legislative package. It is there's a committee of about 150 people who come from the summits that are held in Washington, organizations, the various things that farmers belong to, legislators, lawmakers. This is a very important time for agriculture, in my mind, animal welfare, academia. That's why I was talking about the FFA. It's a part of academia. I think that the food and nutrition sources that we have in our country are way too controlled by the four or five big agribusinesses that are basically producing crap and feeding us crap instead of the stuff that we're growing on our farm. We're getting to the locals. There's more statistical information available every day that I see, that I come across in my various sources, that would indicate that more people, and that's kind of why I had the FFA guy here, sort of indicate that people are wanting to know more about farming, get back on the farm. What's the farm, the food supply world all about? Corporations are not where it's at. That's where the problem comes in. And so the nature of farm bills over the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years, has been to support the growers of the big ag companies growing corn and soybeans and other commodities, the crop insurance programs, the things. 40% of corn and 70% of soybeans are turned into feed for animals that are raised on these huge concentrated animal feeding operations. There are a handful of global corporations that control our meat industry, that control the fruit industry, that control, or not so much veggies. I think there's a lot of local veggie stuff going on, especially during the growing season, that is helping small farms survive. But the big companies don't miss it. Listen, this is why I'm on to Monsanto and Dow and all these other people, and ADM and Cargill and John Deere. They're all in cahoots, and they're all trying to get something out of this farm bill, which for the last 40 some odd years has been nothing but pork barrel for the outfits that don't need it, and the small family farmers that need it don't get it. You know, you can say, well, there are all of these programs you're going to apply for. Fill out think about this for a second. I was trying to fill out the agricultural census the other day, and the time that it takes to do it is asinine. The questions that they keep asking and over-ask, they don't need to know all that information. It's overreach on the part of the government. They'll say, well, it's to serve the farmers better. I don't think that that's true at all. I think serving the farmers better would be just to know who's growing what, either vegetables or livestock or whatever it is, and not just in the big states like Kansas and Ohio and the Midwest, but in states like New Jersey, states like Massachusetts, states where there are limited agricultural opportunities, but still the need to grow and sell healthy food. So let's all make sure that we are going to get our 2 cents worth into the ears of our congressmen and the senators and other people that are going to help shape this farm bill so that it isn't as prejudicial and as one-sided as it was when Sonny Perdue was the agricultural secretary. That's my thought on this. I'm Doug Steffen here on the American Family Farmer.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.